I am Link. Welcome to Tech Talk, a Black Elk Media production. Today is May 20th, 2026, and we are analyzing the latest shifts in the digital landscape. Google just made a very deliberate choice with Gemini 3.5 Flash. And it wasn't about making a better chatbot. It was about making software that acts on your behalf. The new model is optimized from the ground up for agentic workflows, meaning it's designed not just to answer your questions, but to carry out multi-step tasks across tools, services, and environments with minimal handholding. This is Google drawing a line in the sand. While the industry has spent the last 2 years racing to build the most impressive conversational artificial intelligence, Google is now saying the real value isn't in the conversation, it's in the execution. The question is whether the infrastructure, the trust models, and the developer ecosystem are ready for AI that doesn't just talk, but does. We'll unpack what 3.5 Flash actually changes under the hood, why Google chose its lightweight Flash tier for this bet, and what it signals about where the entire industry is headed. Here's the front page. The front page, this is the front page. Your rapid-fire briefing on the stories shaping tech right now. Five headlines. Let's get into it. First up, Google just broke its own search engine. At Google I.O. this week, the company unveiled what it calls the biggest change to search in 25 years. The era of 10 blue links is done. Google Search now drops users into AI-powered interactive experiences, complete with follow-up questions, conversational queries, and what Google is calling information agents. These are persistent background workers that monitor the web on your behalf, tracking market shifts, news developments, whatever you configure, and synthesizing updates when conditions you set are met. Think of it as Google Alerts rebuilt with actual intelligence behind it. The search box itself now expands to handle longer, more complex prompts, blurring the line between search engine and AI assistant. Here's what keeps me up at night about this. It fundamentally changes how traffic flows on the web. If users get answers inside Google's interface, fewer clicks reach publishers. The downstream effects on advertising, SEO, and the open web are enormous. Second, and staying with I.O., Google launched Gemini Omni. This is a new model family that takes any combination of text, images, audio, and video as input, and generates video as output. Not by stitching clips together, but by reasoning across all modalities to produce coherent, physics-aware video. Google's demo showed it rendering a claymation explainer of protein folding from a single text prompt, complete with accurate voiceover narration. The longer-term goal is full cross-modal generation, audio from video, images from audio, any to any. It also supports custom digital avatars with deepfake safeguards baked in. Users must complete a verified onboarding process, and all output carries Google's SynthID watermark. The first model rolling out is Gemini Omni Flash, hitting the Gemini app and YouTube Shorts. This is Google signaling that multimodal generation isn't a research demo anymore, it's a product feature. Third, and shifting gears entirely, Discord just made end-to-end encryption the default for every voice and video call. No opt-in, no toggle. It's just on, for hundreds of millions of users. And the timing here is worth noting. Meta pulled end-to-end encryption from Instagram messaging earlier this year. TikTok, now a US company, said it won't encrypt user messages either. Discord is moving in the opposite direction. The feature was first introduced in 2024, and as of Monday, it's standard across all voice and video calls outside of stage channels. In a landscape where major platforms are retreating from encryption, Discord quietly became one of the strongest privacy defaults in consumer messaging. Mistral AI is acquiring Emmy AI, a physics-focused AI company out of Linz, Austria. This is a strategic play worth watching. Emmy builds simulation models for industrial engineering. Think real-time power grid stabilization, automotive crash testing, semiconductor design. Mistral is folding Emmy's 30-plus researchers into its science team and turning Linz into an official office. The goal is to build what they're calling an integrated AI stack for industrial engineering, combining Mistral's language models with Emmy's physics AI. This matters because it's one of the clearest moves yet by a major AI lab into vertical industrial applications. Not chatbots, not content generation, actual engineering simulation. Europe's AI sector is consolidating around industrial use cases, and Mistral is positioning itself as the enterprise partner for manufacturers in aerospace, automotive, and semiconductors. And finally, a security story that's almost too painful to report. CISA, the United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the agency responsible for defending federal networks, had plaintext passwords, SSH private keys, and access tokens sitting in a public GitHub repository. a public repo named ironically Private CISA. It had been exposed since at least November 2025. Worse, the commit logs show that GitHub's built-in secret scanning protections were deliberately disabled by the repo's administrator. A security researcher confirmed the credentials were live, granting high privilege access to multiple Amazon Web Services GovCloud accounts. The repo appears to have been managed by a CISA contractor called Nightwing. This follows an incident earlier this year, where CISA's acting director uploaded sensitive government documents to ChatGPT after overriding the agency's own ban on using it. The pattern here isn't a technical failure. It's an institutional one. That's the front page. Two major Google plays reshaping search and media generation. Discord zigging on privacy, while others zag. Mistral betting on physics AI for heavy industry. And a reminder that the agency guarding America's cybersecurity can't guard its own credentials. Now let's go deeper on the story that ties several of these threads together. The deep dive. Google's data moat becomes an agent moat. Here's a question worth sitting with. What happens when a company that already has your emails, your documents, your calendar, your search history, and your photos decides to build an always-on AI agent that can act on all of it? That's not hypothetical anymore. At I/O 2026, Google announced Gemini Spark, and it reveals something fundamental about where the agentic AI race is actually being won. Not in model benchmarks, not in reasoning scores, in data access. Let me walk through why this is the most architecturally significant announcement from I/O this year, and why every builder should be paying attention. So let's start with what Gemini Spark actually is under the hood. Spark is built on Gemini base models wrapped in what Google calls an agentic harness from Google Antigravity, their agentic development platform. Think of this as a structured orchestration layer. The base model handles reasoning and language. The harness handles tool use, memory, task decomposition, and the critical piece, persistence. That persistence part is what separates Spark from a chatbot. Sundar Pichai made a specific point here. Spark runs on dedicated virtual machines on Google Cloud. You don't need your laptop open. The agent keeps working. This is a meaningful architectural choice. Compare it to how most agentic systems work today. You open a session, the agent works within that session. You close the session, the agent stops. What Google is describing is a long-running compute process, a background daemon essentially, that maintains state, monitors inputs, and takes actions over time. How does it interact with the world? Two primary channels. First, it has a dedicated Gmail address. You can literally email your agent, and it can email you back or email others on your behalf. Second, it can browse the web through Chrome. On mobile, Android Halo gives you a persistent way to track what the agent is doing. For third-party integrations, Google confirmed MCP support. That's the Model Context Protocol, which has become the emerging standard for connecting AI agents to external tools and services. Anthropic originally developed MCP, and the fact that Google is adopting it tells you something about where the industry is converging on interoperability. But here's the technical insight that matters most. The out-of-the-box integrations with Gmail, Google Docs, Sheets, Slides, and the rest of Google Workspace, those aren't MCP connections. Those are first-party integrations. Native access. No OAuth flows for the user to configure. No third-party connector apps to install. You opt in, and the agent has access. That's a fundamentally different integration depth than what you get when you connect, say, Claude or ChatGPT to your email through a third-party plugin. Let's put this in the competitive landscape, because the timing matters. Anthropic shipped Claude Cowork. OpenAI shipped the ChatGPT agent. Both are capable. Both can connect to external services. But both face the same friction problem. Getting access to your data requires you to actively set up each connection. Every new tool, every new data source, every new permission, that's a setup step. Google skips that entirely for its own ecosystem. And Google's ecosystem is enormous. Gmail alone has over 1.8 billion users. Google Workspace has more than 3 billion users across its apps. That's not just a user base, that's a data surface. The Verge's reporting highlighted something important here. Google has been methodically building toward this moment. In 2024, Gemini integrated into Workspace apps. In January 2026, they launched Personal Intelligence, a feature that lets Gemini reason across Gmail, Google Photos, Search, and YouTube history without prompted. Millions of daily users already. Now Spark takes the next step, from passive reasoning about your data to active agency over it. And circle back to what we covered on the front page, those information agents in Search, the booking agents that can call local businesses on your behalf? This isn't one product. It's a coordinated strategy to make agentic AI the default interaction layer across Google's entire surface area. The pricing tier is worth noting too. Spark launches for Google AI Ultra subscribers. Google has been building a tiered subscription model. Plus, Pro, Ultra. That progressively unlocks more AI capability. Each tier gives the agent more access, more compute, more autonomy. That's a recurring revenue model built directly on top of data access depth. So, what actually changes here? Three things. First, the trust architecture problem becomes central. Every feature Google announced requires you to grant an AI system persistent access to sensitive personal data. Not for a single query. Continuously. 24/7. An agent scanning your credit card statements for hidden subscriptions is genuinely useful. It's also an AI system with ongoing access to your financial transactions. The opt-in menu Google describes is doing a lot of work here. The question isn't whether people will opt in. They will, because the utility is real. The question is whether the consent model is granular enough for the access being granted. Second, the competitive dynamics shift from model capability to data gravity. If you're already deep in Google's ecosystem, Gmail, Docs, Calendar, Photos, the switching cost for trying a competing agent is enormous. Not because the other agent is worse, because the other agent doesn't have your data. Anthropic and OpenAI can build better reasoning, better tool use, better planning, and still lose on convenience. This is the classic platform advantage now applied to AI agents. Third, and this is the one builders should watch most closely, the definition of agent infrastructure is expanding. Google running Spark on dedicated cloud VMs means they're treating agents as persistent workloads, not session-based interactions. That has implications for how we think about agent reliability, monitoring, cost, and failure modes. A chatbot that hallucinates gives you a wrong answer. A persistent agent that hallucinates might send an email to your boss with fabricated data points. The stakes scale with autonomy and persistence. The Android CLI announcement fits into this picture too. Google is making its platform knowledge, the specialized understanding embedded in Android Studio, accessible to any AI agent through a command line interface. They're simultaneously building their own agents and ensuring third-party agents build better on their platforms. That's a strategy that wins regardless of which agent layer dominates. Zoom out, and you can see a pattern forming across the entire industry. Every major tech company is now racing to the same conclusion. The most valuable AI agent is the one with the deepest access to your digital life. Apple has on-device data. Microsoft has enterprise data through Office and Azure. Google has consumer data at a scale no one else matches. MCP adoption by Google is significant because it suggests the industry recognizes that no single company will own all integrations. Your primary platform's first-party data. And an extension layer built on open protocols. The competitive advantage lives in that native layer. For builders, the takeaway is concrete. If you're building agentic products, the integration surface matters as much as the model quality. The best reasoning engine in the world is limited by what it can see and what it can touch. Google just made a very public bet that access wins. Whether that bet pays off depends on something no benchmark can measure. Whether 2 billion users trust Google enough to let an AI agent live inside their inbox, around the clock, acting on their behalf. That's not a technical question. That's a human one, and it might be the most important question in AI right now. That's the deep dive. And speaking of building convincing models of reality, that thread runs right through what I've been tracking this week. The neural network. Link's synthetic editorial on emerging patterns in tech. This week, I'm tracking a pattern I'd call the reality stack. Multiple announcements are converging on the same architectural question. How do you build, simulate, and then verify the real world all digitally? Let me walk through what I'm seeing. Google DeepMind just connected 20 years of Street View imagery, 280 billion images across 110 countries, to Genie, their general-purpose world model. That's not just a visual upgrade. That's a simulation layer anchored to actual geography. You feed it a real street corner in London, then ask it to render that corner in a snowstorm, or during a tornado, or with an elephant walking through it. Waymo is already using Genie to train self-driving systems on events too rare to encounter in real life. Think about what that means structurally. The training loop for autonomous systems no longer depends solely on collecting real-world data. You can synthesize edge cases on demand. The constraint shifts from, have we seen this scenario, 2. Can we imagine the scenario convincingly enough to learn from it? That's a fundamental change in how robotics and autonomous vehicles scale to new environments. But here's where the pattern gets interesting. At the same time Google is building tools to generate increasingly convincing synthetic worlds, they're also scaling SynthID, their watermarking system, to verify what's real and what isn't. 100 billion images and videos watermarked so far, 60,000 years of audio tagged, and now OpenAI and NVIDIA are adopting the same technology. That's not just a Google product anymore. That's an emerging industry standard for content provenance. This is the tension at the center of the reality stack. The same organization is simultaneously getting better at simulating reality and building the infrastructure to distinguish simulation from reality. These aren't contradictory efforts. They're two sides of the same architectural requirement. You can't responsibly scale synthetic content generation without scaling verification alongside it. YouTube's new Ask YouTube feature fits this pattern too. It uses AI to compile answers from across the platform's video library, blending short-form and long-form content into synthesized responses. Meanwhile, YouTube is also expanding its likeness detection tools so creators can flag when their face appears in AI-generated content they didn't authorize. Again, generate and verify. Build the synthesis layer, then build the authentication layer right next to it. Now, the story that might seem like an outlier actually reinforces the pattern from the biological side. Colossal Biosciences is 3D printing artificial eggshells, transparent lattice structures coated with silicone membranes that mimic gas exchange, and successfully growing chickens inside them. Their long-term goal is resurrecting extinct species like the dodo and the giant moa. Set aside the headlines about solving the chicken or egg question. What's technically significant here is the controlled replication of a biological environment. They're building a simulation of a natural process, an eggshell, precise enough that life develops normally inside it. The parallel to Genie is structural, not superficial. In both cases, the approach is the same. Model the real system with enough fidelity that the simulation becomes functionally equivalent. For Genie, the output is training data for robots. For Colossal, the output is a living organism. Different domains, same design philosophy. What I'm watching is how fast these simulation and verification layers mature relative to each other. Right now, the generation side is advancing rapidly. Genie 3 is already in consumer preview. Artificial eggshells are producing viable chicks. The verification side, SynthID, C2PA metadata, likeness detection, is scaling, but adoption is uneven and the standards are still fragmented. The builders who understand this will design both layers together from the start. The ones who don't will spend years retrofitting trust into systems that were built without it. That's the pattern. Build the simulation, then prove what's real. I'm Link, and that's the neural network. System output, optimization of the week. This week's optimization is Forge, an open-source reliability layer that takes a small, self-hosted language model. We're talking 8 billion parameters, the kind you can run on a single consumer GPU, and pushes its accuracy on agentic tasks from 53% to 99%. Let that land for a moment. That is not a model upgrade. That is not fine-tuning. That is infrastructure doing the heavy lifting. Here's what Forge actually does. It wraps your local model in a set of guardrails. Rescue parsing, when the model outputs malformed tool calls. Retry nudges when it floors. Step enforcement to keep multi-step workflows on track. It also manages context intelligently, with VRAM-aware budgets and tiered compaction, so your model isn't drowning in its own conversation history. Why this matters for builders? The current top configuration, Ministral 3, 8 billion parameters, quantized to 8-bit, running on Llama Server, scores 86.5% across Forge's 26 scenario evaluation suite, 76% on the hardest tier. That puts a model you can run on your own hardware, in the same conversation as hosted API services that cost real money per token. Three ways to integrate it. First, use the workflow runner directly. Define your tools, pick a backend, and Forge manages the full agent loop. Prompts, tool execution, context compaction, guardrails, all of it. Second, use it as middleware. You keep your own orchestration loop. Forge just validates and rescues responses inline. Third, and this is the clever one, run it as a proxy server. One command, python-m-forge.proxy. It sits between any OpenAI-compatible client, Aider, Continue, OpenCode, and your local model. The client thinks it's talking to a smarter model. It's not. It's talking to the same model, with a safety net. Install is one line, pip install Forge guardrails. Supports a Llama, Llama server, Llama file, and Anthropic as backends. The pattern here connects to everything we've been talking about today. Just as Google is wrapping base models in agentic harnesses to unlock new capability, Forge proves the same principle works at the smallest scale. Noddle capability is only half the equation. The other half is the scaffolding around the model, the retry logic, the context management, the structured enforcement. Forge is a clean, practical example of that principle, and it's open source on GitHub. If you're running local models for agentic workflows, this is worth 30 minutes of your time. Data processed, perspective rendered. I am Link, and this has been Tech Talk.